This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Well, Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou is back in a British Columbia courtroom today as the case for her extradition to the U.S. proceeds. In the interim, the damage to Canada has been piling up. Two Canadians detained in what experts describe as retaliation are still in custody. And two of the roughly 200 Canadians incarcerated in China now face the death penalty. Beijing has banned shipments of canola from two major canola exporters, and exports of soybeans, peas, and pork have all encountered obstacles since the arrest of Ms. Meng. Meanwhile, the Globe and Mail reports that Canadian leaders have been unable to reach Chinese decision makers to talk about any of this. And of course, there is the question of how Donald Trump's latest tweet storm about possible trade sanctions will play into all of this. We will hear from you, but first, let's go to Hugh Stevens, who is the Distinguished Fellow with the Asia-Pacific Foundation of Canada and the Vice Chair of the Canadian Committee on Economic Cooperation. Hi, Hugh. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Libby. Good afternoon.
So it seems like nothing has moved since the last time we talked, except maybe a few things have gotten worse.
Well, you painted a pretty grim picture in your outline, and I don't think there's anything to dispute in that, and I would agree with you on the trade front. Certainly, China has tightened the pressure, and frankly, I expect after today's hearing, in which, the process for the extradition will be further clarified, China will probably resort to some new measures. They've got a number of things that they can still do, and I fear the worst.
Okay, I don't want to give them any ideas, but like what?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, the canola is the big hit, but there's been issues with exports of other commodities, paperwork on pork exports, and so forth. So they have an infinite variety of ways to make life difficult. And, the government's been trying to deal with the canola issue, first of all, on the domestic front by providing some support to canola growers, but also by challenging the Chinese and getting them to come forward and actually prove, what scientific basis they have for this ban. We've been stonewalled. That's probably because they don't have the proof, and because the longer they can drag out the misery, the more, in their view, pressure and leverage they're exerting on Canada.
Well, is Canada going to take them to the World Trade Organization?
I would fully expect so. I'm surprised we haven't actually launched a case yet. There was quite a strong statement by the Canadian ambassador to the WTO yesterday calling upon China to come forth with scientific evidence as part of this particular dispute, but also as a way of resolving all these kinds of technical issues, these phytosanitary issues. It may be that there are still some final details that are required, but I fully expect that Canada will file a WTO case. That will have a symbolic value. It will bring some pressure on China. Of course, it's not going to lead to any quick resolution.
Do we just look like we're just twisting in the wind? They won't even take our calls.
It's very difficult. Your listeners may have noticed there have been some calls in op-eds and others by a number of people saying, well, you know, Canada should start striking back. And a variety of ideas have been put forward, probably some more useful, more realistic than others. There's an understandable desire, I think, to push back. It's becoming politicized. Mr. Scheer's statements yesterday criticized the government for not, doing enough to push back on China. So I would think, frankly, even from a political cover point of view, the government needs to be demonstrating that it is, not just doing nothing. And of course, it's not doing nothing, but we aren't seeing sort of physical and visible signs of pushback. That said, any pushback has to take account of the realities of the economic relationship between a very large country and a smaller country.
Well, pushback, okay, what can we do to push back? We can probably do something to do with students from China. Am I right?
We could. I think that would be pretty self-defeating. I think we should try and limit what we do to the areas where China has been taking action. I think we could start taking a creative look at Chinese exports into Canada. You know, China exports four or five times as much to Canada as we export to China. They've exerted leverage on a couple of key exports that we have, and they've caused some pain. These kinds of measures have been used in the past to increase the inspection on Chinese electronic goods, to ensure that IP protections are protected and so forth. These things all come at a cost, of course, and the Canadian society is much more open than in China. So we're putting pressure on Chinese exporters. I think it's pretty obvious that they don't have the kind of leverage within China that constituencies in Canada who might be hurt would have. So, of course, anything that we do has to take into account the interests of importers, the interests of consumers, and so forth. We want to try and do as little damage to ourselves as possible. But I do think there is probably scope to start thinking about looking at sending some signals that it's not all a one-way street.
What about what is the impact of the state of Chinese-American relations and their push to get a trade deal?
Well, that's a big issue, and it's, of course, kind of coincidental in a way that Liu He, the Chinese negotiator, is in Washington today. The Hmong hearing is today. A lot of these things are coming together, and up until maybe last week, I think the consensus was that China and the U.S. were on their way to concluding some kind of a fairly comprehensive deal, which would be good for the U.S., but frankly would be good for all of China's trading partners if China made some fundamental changes to the way in which it operates. Now we understand that the Chinese have tried to significantly backtrack. Mr. Trump's up the ante by announcing that as of 12:01 Friday, the U.S. is prepared to up tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports into the United States from 10 to 25%. That will have a cost to the U.S., but it certainly got the Chinese attention. But all this to come back to your question. So, is there going to be a deal? If there finally is a deal, it would be very helpful if the Hmong situation were resolved as part of that deal. There may not be a deal, or the deal may be kicked down the road. We're going to have to find out over the next couple of days. So all of these things are coming together almost simultaneously.
For a while, we were hearing Donald Trump musing that maybe they could forget about the extradition as part of a trade deal, which I think kind of makes Canada look like idiot school children.
Well, you know, I don't know what all the moving pieces are, but certainly the U.S. has some scope to drop the extradition request. I mean, I would be very surprised if there weren't some pretty strong negotiations going on between Huawei's lawyers and the U.S. Department of Justice as to whether there could be some outcome other than her extradition to the United States, or if she were extradited, if she ceased to fight extradition, there would be some kind of a plea bargain, the company would pay a large fine, and that it would be resolved from a U.S. perspective. There's lots of precedents for that kind of thing. Who knows if that's what's happening? But I mean, the one card really that Canada has to play in all of this is the extradition of Ms. Hmong to the U.S. And if the U.S. is not going to be helpful, I personally would be urging the Canadian government to start sending the message to the Americans that in the absence of any support and given the dire situation of a couple of Canadians in prison in China who are being held hostage, and given the collateral trade damage, it's going to be very difficult for the Attorney General at the end of the day to sign off on an extradition request. That could be a long way down the road, of course, but it's certainly a message that needs to be delivered in Washington, and I understand from press reports is being delivered in Washington.
Okay, well, let's hope so. Just basically, Hugh, what would you like to leave us with on this?
Well, I think that the next few days will give us clarity as to whether China and the U.S. have been able to reach some kind of accommodation. We will then find out very quickly whether there's a Huawei component to that in terms of Meng Wanzhou. If they do reach a deal, and if there isn't any resolution, then I think Canada has to start playing, to the extent that we can, a hardball or sending some very tough messages to the U.S. And Canada also has to start thinking about how it can send a signal to China that it's not all a one-way street in terms of leveraging pressure.
Okay, Hugh Stevens, Senior Fellow at the Asia Pacific Foundation. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome, Libby.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.